My dear friends, what are the readings of today about? They are about choosing, about choices. In some sense, we could affirm that life in itself is all about choosing. And every choice we make not only changes something in the outside, but changes ourselves. We are shaping our own lives with every decision we take. Because in taking a decision, we are not only transforming something in the outside, but we are shaping our will, we are shaping our future, and we are aiming to some particular goal. In every choice, we are changing ourselves. In that sense, we are like transforming what we can make, what we can obtain of ourselves. It is not the same when you head to goodness or when you head to wickedness. The mere decision of choosing goodness brings some actual good to your heart. And when you aim to wickedness, some evil already dwells in your heart. I mean, the future is not something that rests ahead of us. In taking a decision that will bring us to that future, we are already actually changing what we are right now. Decisions. What sort of decisions? In the first reading, it is clear. It is a decision between life and death. I set before you life and prosperity, death and disaster. And it is so interesting that the Lord is setting before us the two possibilities. He is setting up what we can find, but he is as well giving us advice. For we read a little after, if you love the Lord your God and follow his ways, the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to make your own. Choose life. The Lord has put before us the possibility of choosing, and the Lord is advising us what to choose. There is a mystery in this couple of things. We could wonder why the Lord has given us the possibility of choosing, only to tell us after that, please pick this particular decision. Choose this road. Go for this way. If the Lord knows what is best for me, why did he give me the possibility of choosing? What is the good of choosing? The good of choosing is the good of loving. When we take a decision out of necessity, we are not exercising the capacity of love that dwells within us. A decision is an exercise as putting into action the capacity of love that we have received from the Lord. So we can compare the movement of the planets, of the growth of plants and animals, with our liberty, our capacity of taking decisions. The earth cannot say, I don't want. The birds in the sky, the plants on the earth, they cannot say no. But we have this possibility. We could say no to the Lord. And what's the great, what's the big deal with the capacity of saying no? That if we can say no, and we say yes, that acceptance, that yes, comes from a new level, a new ontological level, which entails the capacity of surrendering ourselves. We can say yes or not, because we are lords of ourselves. We have dominion of ourselves. In that sense, we are different. We are altogether different from plants, animals, and planets. Because we have dominion on ourselves. Because we can command ourselves. Because we own ourselves. Because of all that, we can say yes or say not. Therefore, we are in a completely different level than plants and animals are on. Because when we say yes, what we are doing is taking what we are, what we own, and surrendering that to the Lord. It is because we are owners of ourselves that we can say yes or we can say not. It is then the complete difference that we have with plants and animals. It's that difference that makes possible for us to say, I accept, Lord, your commandments. Or, regretfully, say, I reject, Lord, your commandments. We have consciousness. We are endowed with intelligence. And we have the capacity of owning ourselves. That is not something that animals or plants have. We do have that. And it is from that new level that we say to the Lord, I do accept your commandments. God, as creator, has set up the framework we live in. God as creator. But God, not as creator, but God as a friend. Because we resemble him in our liberty, in our capacity of choice, we resemble him. The Lord is acting not as creator, but as a friend, as someone alongside us, saying, this is better for you. Go for this. This is better for you. It is a new relationship, because we own ourselves. Because the Lord made us in such a way that we own ourselves, we have the capacity of saying yes or not. And so, God, in creating us, has put himself in a new relationship with us, which is not simply saying something that we must do, but saying something that we can accept or reject. And that means he has become our companion, the one who is alongside us, giving advice, giving a word, asking for our acceptance, suggesting, this is better for you, go for it. And we can choose life, and we can reject life. That is what we are told in the first reading. But there is an advance, there is a new step that is taken in the Gospel. There is a sort of paradox in the Gospel. The Son of Man is destined to suffer grievously, to be rejected by the elders. The Lord, the giver of life, will be put to death. This is a paradox. It is also a paradox, the new advice that we receive. If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross every day. And it is absolutely new what we hear. Anyone who wants to save his life will lose it. This stands in a sort of contradiction with the first reading. Because in the first reading we heard, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. And in the Gospel we hear, if anyone wants to save his life, will lose it. What is the change? What has happened here? This is a new message. In the first reading, we received this commandment, choose life, in the Gospel. If anyone wants to save his life, will lose it. So what am I to do? According to the first reading, I should go for life. According to the Gospel, I shouldn't want to save my life. So what's the bottom line? What's the way out? In reality, there is no contradiction, my friends. In both cases, we are called to choose life. But we can say true life. The concept of true life comes, of course, from the reality that there are fake lives, false choices. Choices that apparently lead to life because they lead to prosperity, to some degree of happiness, enjoyment and contentment. But that can be deceiving. And we are put on guard by the Lord. There are false choices. There are fake choices. And that could happen to you. If you cling to life, if you cling to this life, if you cling to the life you can embrace and enjoy and see here on earth, if you cling to that, in fact, you are rejecting the deepest meaning of the very word life. Because life is far more than everything we can see and we can understand and we can embrace now. It is the mystery of life that makes Jesus to affirm what he affirms. He's saying life is much more than you can see. Life is much more than you can cling to. So that if you make all your decision only on the basis of what you can see, you are making a wrong choice. And that won't lead to true life. True life entails now becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, because his choices that ultimately mean simply giving life, simply surrendering everything we have to the Lord, simply entail accepting whatever comes to us. That is the life of the Lord. That is what Jesus did. So there is a continuity between the first reading and the gospel. But there is also a new step. And that step is the strong, the radical decision of taking on whatever comes, only because that is God's will. And that was not so clear in the first reading. That wasn't so clear in the Old Testament. Now we understand that embracing life means giving life as Jesus did. Because Jesus' life was giving life. But we cannot stay giving life unless we are continuously connected, continuously plugged, connected, linked to the source of life, which is God Himself. So, clinging to life means clinging to God, clinging to God's will, accepting whatever He decides for us. That is what the Lord has shown with His own example. And we are invited to do the same. We are invited to accept God's will in such a way. During Lenten season, we have the possibility of reshaping our mind, reshaping our life. We are called to be aware of the greatness that the Lord has done for us in the very fact of creating us as beings with consciousness, beings able to own themselves. That entails a huge responsibility, and that entails as well the possibility of saying yes, and the true acceptance, the true yes, is clinging to God, whatever comes. May the Lord, with the aid of His Holy Spirit, keep us on His track and guide us, because only in Him and with Him we'll find true happiness. Amen.